Afternoon. Before we get started, I always like to pray a little bit before I get into it. So please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we were able to be here tonight. May you please bless our time. May you bless your word. May your word go forth and transform hearts and minds, Lord. And may you help us to understand your word. May what I say be clear. And may it be encouraging and empowering for your people. May you do a mighty work among us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I would be really saddened if I didn't thank you all for being here tonight. I want to thank my family. I want to thank you guys for supporting me and getting me through seminary. All the prayers, all the treats, all the lunches, all the encouragement, the questions about school, even though it's a little hard. I just really love you guys, and I don't get to tell you all the time. The kids know I love them. I tell them too much. All right, so we're going to be in the Gospel of John. First, I would like to give you a little background. The Gospel of John was written by John the Apostle. So his gospel is a little different than the synoptics. He talks about different stories and things like that, but he also talks about himself a little bit. So he talks about beating Peter to the temple. Now, I don't know if he was the fastest runner. I just know he beat Peter that day. And he also talks about how Jesus loves him. He is the one that Jesus loved. And his purpose for his gospel is so that we may believe in Jesus Christ. And by believing, we would have life in his name. And we'll look at this today. So, God has come to dwell with us. Therefore, we can rejoice in him. We're going to be in John chapter 1. Verses 1 through 18. If you have your Bibles, you can please stand for the reading of the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." You may be seated. John's Gospel is my favorite book of the Bible. Some of these words were very instrumental in my salvation. I can remember the evangelist telling me that I must be born again. And those words changed my life. But today we'll look at John's unique Christmas story. First, we're going to take a look at his greatness in verses 1 through 3. So look at verse 1 with me. It says, "In the beginning was the Word." Now, I know that sounds very familiar, because as soon as you open up the Bible and look at Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. See, John's gospel starts off different than the other gospels. The other gospels, they start off looking at Jesus' humanity. So I learned in one of my theology classes, this is called Christology from Below. So John looks at Jesus, and he starts off with Christology from above. So his divinity. And in the beginning was the Word. So it's the Word and it's God. Before the universe was created, before space, before time, the Word was there and God was there. In eternity. So the Word is co-eternal with God. But what was this Word? In John's day, it was very debatable. So the Gnostics, they had an opinion. Stoics, Greek philosophers, they had all these opinions about what the Word was. But John kind of clears that up. He says the Word was with God. So it was coexistent with God. Then he goes on to say, the Word is God. That's what the Word is. So there's not two different gods. The Word and God is all one. They're co-equal, coexistent, all together. And in verse 3, it says that all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus created it all. The sun, the moon, the stars, the grass, the animals, all of it. Why do you think he did it? Did he need a world? He was in heaven. It's perfect there. Did he need anything else? He loves us. We can see that as we look around. He loves us so much. I like these verses about Jesus and him being the creator of all things. It's found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. I really would like to read the whole thing because it's all good, but I won't. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Some of us out here might not know our purpose. What are we doing here? You're created for him. You're here to worship him. You're here to glorify him. You're here to praise him. He's a great and mighty God. That's the reason you're here. And you might be saying, how can I see his greatness? One way you can see his greatness is by opening up this book, this Bible, looking in here, and look how many mighty and wonderful deeds that he has done. But he hasn't only done them in the Bible. He's still working. He's still doing. He's doing mighty things today. He's doing mighty things around the world within this church. Another way that you can see his greatness is by looking at others. Looking at others, looking how their faith is growing. Looking at how they are enduring during their suffering. Look at God and how he's changing lives, how he's restoring marriages. He's doing amazing things. And then you can see his greatness in your own life. Are you the same person you were a year ago? 5 years ago? 10 years ago? God is working in you and through you, sanctifying you to the image of his Son. We serve a great God. Now that we've seen how we can look at his greatness, we'll move on to appreciating the giver. Appreciating the giver. Verses 4 through 13. We'll start off with verse 4. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So Jesus is the source of life. Life is found in him. Life in Christ was the light, or is the light of humanity. Verse 9 says, the true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. So on Sunday, Pastor Summers preached, and he was talking about this seed that would come into the world. And we've seen that in Genesis 3, that he would crush the serpent's head. And even in Abraham, in Genesis chapter 12, spoke of how all the nations would be blessed through this seed. David was going to have a son that was going to rule forever. He was going to sit on that throne. And Jesus is the one. And Isaiah talks about it more clearly, as he says, a virgin shall have a son. And then he also says, For unto us a son is given, or a son is born. Now, I know you may think these are just prophecies. These are in the Old Testament, but it's very important. Because after they sinned, God was no longer like walking with them. He had moved on. God doesn't dwell around sin. And from the Old Testament to the New Testament, there were 400 years. So 400 years of silence. There were no new prophets proclaiming God's word or giving the people new revelation. There were no new scriptures being written. All they had to hang on to were these prophecies. So they're looking forward to these days, because the Greeks and Romans had taken over. So they're hanging on, hoping in this Messiah coming. And our God is so great, he doesn't leave us in darkness. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. He shines through the darkness. and the darkness cannot stop it. I like what Jesus says. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Are you walking in darkness? Are you following the light? You can't half-heartedly follow the light. You can't be like, I'm a little bit in the light and I'm a little bit in the darkness. God doesn't play games. Either you're in the light or you're in the darkness. So what are you going to do to show your appreciation to the giver? God has given you everything that you have. There's no way that you could repay him. You can try as you may, but remember, our good deeds are nothing but filthy rags. So how can you repay him? What's something that you can do? God wants your heart. He wants you to be faithful. He wants you to obey him. He don't want you to go out there and make $1 million. That's not what he wants. He wants you. What are you going to give him this year? How are you going to give him more of yourself? Less of me, more you. Now that we've looked at appreciating the giver, next we'll look at how we need to remember his grace. Remember his grace in verses 14 through 18. Let's check out verse 14. I like this verse. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's pretty much John's Christmas story right there. He doesn't say much else about the Christmas story. He doesn't talk about the angels. He doesn't talk about the shepherds or the stars or the wise men. He doesn't even say anything about Mary. Most people don't mention Joseph, though, so he doesn't say anything about Joseph either. He just keeps the main thing, the main thing. Not that those other stories are bad, but John is focused. Why is this verse so important? Well, God was no longer walking with man, not like he was with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. Sin had destroyed the world. Everything was corrupted. But he keeps trying over and over and over to get to his people. So in the wilderness, they built a tabernacle. So God will dwell in the place in the tabernacle. Then they made it to Jerusalem. Solomon built the temple. Then God would dwell in a portion of the temple. He keeps seeking to dwell with his people. He wants to be with us. But we rebel. We sin. We do our own thing. And he can't dwell in an unclean temple. But look what just happened. God has come to dwell with his people. Not in a tent, not in a temple where they couldn't go in, but now he's his flesh, and they can touch him, and they can see him, and they can ask some questions. It's amazing. He left the glories in heaven to live in this sinful world. Now, I can't wait to go to heaven, and I have no plans on leaving. But he left because he loves us. He's doing everything he possibly can do to save us. He's a loving God. And in him, the fullness of deity dwells bodily. So Jesus is fully God, and he is fully man. He's not 50% man or 50% God. He's fully man and God. Now, I know some people are biblicists. They have no creed but the Bible. But some of the creeds of old really help us understand the Bible more. A lot of men fought for the truth of the scriptures. So we have the creeds like the Nicene Creed and the Creed of Chalcedon that fought for Jesus' deity. They really fought for the truth because they want people to know who God truly is. Now, Jesus is a baby, so he was a weak, tiny little baby. But at the same time, he was all powerful. Can you explain how that works? Jesus didn't know nothing. He was just a little baby. All he knew was that he wanted some milk. That's it. Little baby. But at the same time, he knew everything. Everything there is to know, more than we will ever know. He knew it all. He was born in Bethlehem, born in one place, but at the same time, all present. I can't explain it. He's fully God, he's fully man. He came, he lived a perfect life, a life none of us could ever live. He never sinned, he never misspoke, he never did the wrong thing or thought the wrong thought, completely perfect. So perfect that they had to kill him. He died a perfect man for imperfect people. Died so that our sins would be forgiven. Died so that we would be made right with the Father. Died so that we may have eternal life. That we may be able to dwell with him. But he didn't stay dead. After 3 days later, he rose again. And soon after that, he ascended to the Father. And even now, he's at the right hand, interceding for us. Do you believe this? This is why John has written this gospel, so that we would believe and that we would have life. If you do not believe today, the wrath of God remains upon you. But the good thing is, Jesus has come. All you have to do is repent. Repent and believe the gospel. You don't have to remain in darkness. You can have the light today. Repent, turn away from your sin, change how you think about the Lord. change what you're doing. Matter of fact, he's going to change you. Believe the gospel. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again the third day. And you will have new life. And you will have light. What I tell the teenagers about people who do not believe is that they're really zombies. They look like they're alive, but they're truly dead. Are you alive today? If you believe, you are. If you do not believe, you are not. But you can be. All those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus today. He will save you. The last verse that we're going to look at is verse 16. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Grace upon grace, unlimited grace. If you believe, God has so much grace for you. I actually learned a new word while I was looking up this. It's called superabundance. So that's how much grace he has for us. It's superabundant. It'll never run out. So I was just thinking about the sand on the seashore and how you can count those sand forever. Do you know how much God has been gracious to you? Can you count how many times he has been gracious? How many times you didn't get into that car accident? How many times you didn't fall when you were supposed to? Or when you almost hit somebody else? He's so gracious, we can't even thank him enough. It's like all the blessings he's blessed us with. We can't thank him enough. He woke you up this morning. How many mornings have he woke you up? Can you count? Nope, you're just thankful that you woke up another one, right? He continues to bless us. He blessed us so much. He's a good and gracious and merciful God. He loves us. So I know some of you may be out there, may be hurting. Christmas may not be a good time for you. You may have lost someone. And that is tough. But we must continue to turn to the Lord because he is there for us forever and always. Forever and always, he's there for you. My favorite promise, he will never leave you or forsake you. So whatever you may be going through this Christmas, he will never leave you or forsake you. He's right there with you. Now, some of you may be in the red this Christmas because you spent a lot of money. You may be a little down about that. He's right there with you. Some of you may have a lot of joy this Christmas. Don't forget about him. He's right there with you. He loves you. Then I have a little something extra. It won't cost you nothing. For the kids and for some of the adults this year, whatever you get, be thankful. If you get a pair of socks, be thankful. You get some gloves, be thankful. Whatever you get, be thankful. To be honest, we all deserve nothing. We all deserve hell. But God has sent his son to die for us, to take our place, so that we may have eternal life, so that we may be forgiven and one day dwell with him. But God is so good that he sealed us with a promise. If you believe in him, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. God is with you forever and always. Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for sending your son to die on a cross in our place. He didn't deserve it, and we do still deserve it. We still commit sins, Father God. But his blood covers them all. Lord, please help us look to you this Christmas and just be grateful for what you have done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.